You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. The Punt Podcast, midweek edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17 to 10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello everyone, and a warm welcome along to this latest edition of The Punt Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to the Premier League fixtures in midweek. There are five games coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday night with plenty of permutations affecting both ends of the table. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, looking ahead to a busy midweek of footballing action. And joining me on the line is Punt Podcast regular, Mr. Derek McGovern. How are you, sir?
Yes, very well, Sam. Hope all well with you.
Good, yes, not too bad. I hope the title race hasn't finished you off, Derek.
Oh my God, it was nervy Liverpool yesterday, wasn't it? I don't know how they got the 3 points, but they got them at this stage of the season. That's all that mattered. That's all that matters. It's been pretty much Liverpool all season. I have to say, if they do win the league, and I've got my doubts, well, you know, I think their best play will have been luck, because they have ridden more than their fair share of it this season.
Yeah, I was seeing one or two people yesterday debating whether or not it's destined to be Liverpool's title this year, just simply because, as you say, Lady Luck has played such a big part.
Yeah, well, they haven't. I mean, last season when they finished a mile behind Manchester City, in my eyes, they were far better, far more entertaining. You know, finished teams off easily, great to watch, and they've been none of that this season. In fact, I've argued many times in the pub recently, I can count the number of decent games, impressive performances from Liverpool this season on the fingers of Captain Hook. and yes, there they are, top of the league. I don't understand it.
And they weren't the only team that were fortunate over the course of the weekend. Chelsea were very, very lucky to get past Cardiff, and that will have brought a huge sigh of relief to the likes of Burnley and Southampton and Brighton as well. That was an incredible decision in Sunday's game.
Yeah, the offside was, yeah. I'm not sure about the supposed sending off for Rudiger, was it, at the end?
Yeah,
but the offside decision was a bad one. And they often go away to big teams. But as it was against a side managed by Neil Warnock, all is well with me.
Well, I do agree with that. I think it was the closest I've ever felt to feeling actual sorrow for Neil Warnock. I couldn't quite bring myself to feel sorry for him.
No,
but
never be sucked into that. Yes.
Let's dive into some of this week's matches then. We've got games coming up on Tuesday and on Wednesday. There's a couple of games on Tuesday night and three games on Wednesday. And we start at Vicarage Road with Watford taking on Fulham. Watford priced up at 63-100 for this one. It's 3-1 about the draw. Fulham are 17-4. There'll be plenty of enhanced offers on this game as we get a little bit closer to kickoff, but just the 90-minute prices at the time of recording. Fulham could be relegated on Tuesday night. They join Huddersfield in the Championship next season, but in reality, Fulham fans have been resigned to their fate for a little while. Meanwhile, we've got Watford on the flip side, who are in the mix for seventh place, or the Everton Cup, as I've heard many people refer to it to in recent times. Finishing in that position could equal a Europa League spot next season, but they also have the FA Cup to think about. They play Wolves at Wembley on Sunday, which should really be the priority for them this week. I don't know why it wouldn't be. So Javi Gracia could make some changes. But even so, Fulham have lost 8 games in a row. They've lost 12 of their last 13. And their away form is absolutely miserable. They haven't picked up a point away from home since before Christmas. They've only picked up 2 points on the road all season. Even if Watford make changes here, this is surely a bit of a formality, because Fulham, as I say, the fans have been resigned to their fate for a little while, and the players are beginning to look a bit resigned too.
Yeah, well, the players have been resigned from a long way off. But, you know, you're right. Everything you say about Fulham is right. You know, they have been really, really poor. But, you know, the option... Well, sorry, the alternative is to back at Watford at odds on, long odds on, when, you know, there's no juice in it for them either. This is a match between a team not interested in winning and a team incapable of winning. It's a tough one to call. Can you back Watford at long odds on when there's, you know, there's nothing in it for them? We've got an FA Cup semi-final coming up on Sunday. No, you can't. That's the answer. Can you back four of them in? Well, the short answer is no. Don't be stupid. And so is the long answer. It's a tough one. You look at Scott Parker, the Fulham manager. You're watching him against City at the weekend. He looks so disgusted in his team's performance. He wore the look of a more experienced Fulham manager, the one who knows how bad they are. I read somewhere one of the former Fulham stars was saying the players don't these days for Fulham don't know what it means playing for Fulham. Well, they do. It means they need a new agent. It's just it's a side that's right from the word go has been going nowhere. This fixture troubles me, Sam. It really does, because, I've been betting a million years and one day I intend to have a winner. and I've always avoided backing teams that I've got no interest in the game. If they're a decent price, if Fulham were already down and they were 6-1 or something like that, I might have a dabble on them in this because, sometimes the pressure gets taken off. But when you're asking to back... They were already put down and you were 6-1 or something like that. But when you're backing a team that's long odds on with no mile in it for them, I can't bring myself to do it. What I'm going to do instead is that this is my default setting in a game where I think there's nothing in it. I think to create goals in the Premier League, you have to strain a sinew. You have to go that extra yard. And I don't think you're going to find that in the players here. So in the both teams to score market, yes, is a long odds on at 8-13, which surprises me here. I'm going to go for no. Both teams to score, no. 6-5. I think that's overpriced.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Both teams to score, no, in the Watford-Fulham game, priced up at 6-5. And I very much agree with a lot of your thinking there. Problem for Fulham as well is they're going to have to sort of clear the decks next year. They spent a hell of a lot of money over the course of the summer. And there are loads of players in there, Derek, that know that they're not going to be playing in the Championship next season for Fulham. And they're not digging in. They know they're going to be away in the summer. Very, very concerning times for Fulham fans, because having spent all that money, yes, there'll be parachute payments, but with FFP regulations, they're going to have a very, very busy summer, Fulham. We've seen in recent years the likes of Portsmouth, Wolves and Sunderland have gone for the double drop and been relegated again. I half fear for them next year, Fulham.
Yeah, you're right. I would do too. The one crumb of comfort for them is that they'll be in the Championship next season and are prepared for that by playing Championship football for most of this season. But I agree. I've got reservations about them next year. I don't think they want to be. They don't look to me like one of those teams that's going to become fighting for a promotion again. And it's amazing, actually, how many teams go down from the Premier League. And then, you never see them fighting for promotion for a few seasons. It takes them a long time to acclimatise.
Mm. Yes, I would agree. I'd almost feel more comfortable with where Huddersfield are at the moment compared to Fulham. I could see them having a better year next year.
Well, yeah, and, to be honest, the David Wagner, their manager, was he wasn't sacked, was he? He seemed to leave of his own accord. But the job he did in keeping them up last season has been massively underestimated. I watched them a few times last season. I thought, these are terrible. They will definitely finish bottom. And he kept them up. And we've seen they are as bad. They are as bad this season as they were last season. They stayed up last season. They're a million miles behind now. So Wagner, for me, he should have got manager of the season last year.
Yeah, I would agree with that, I think. The next game on Tuesday night is at Molineux, and this involves Watford's FA Cup semi-final opponents, Wolves. They take on Manchester United. Wolves are 14-5 here. The draw is 12-5. Manchester United are priced up at 21-20. Obviously, we had a chance to see these two teams go at it a few weeks ago in the FA Cup, where Wolves came through with a 2-1 victory to knock Manchester United out of that competition in the quarterfinals. Wolves are another team like Watford that are in the mix for best of the rest in the Premier League. But again, they've got one eye definitely on that semi-final at Wembley this weekend. Manchester United, meanwhile, the 3 points could mean and should mean a lot more for them, really. We're recording this on Monday afternoon, but by the time United play, there's every chance that they could find themselves out of the top four in what's become a really hot race developing for those final two Champions League spots. Nuno hasn't got a huge squad at his disposal, so I think there could be less rotation for Wolves compared to perhaps Watford. And he might not make as many changes as one might think ahead of this game. But regardless, as we mentioned there, the 3 points are more important for Manchester United. But you touched on, when we get to this stage of the season, you get games like this where just because one team desire the 3 points more, doesn't always mean that they're going to get them. So even though a win here is more vital to Manchester United, you are sometimes in danger of falling into a bit of a trap this season and just trying to back the team that on paper should want the win more.
Well, yes, but very often when you get that at this stage of the season, the team that has everything to play for against a team that has nothing, the team that has everything to play for is long odds on. I'm surprised that United are 21-20 here odds against. Yes, I know that he went to Molineux a couple of weeks ago and lost. But, you know, that was in the FA Cup, and Wolves are pretty much firing in that competition. I remember was it an earlier round when the manager played his second string goalie, in a league match a few days before the FA Cup to give him a bit of a warm-up, because he was their FA Cup goalie and he needed to have the cobwebs blown off him. So we played him in a league match. That screams to me that the league for Wolves right now is an afterthought. All their eggs are in the FA Cup basket. And I don't think they'll be trying a leg in this game. If I was a Wolves player with an FA Cup semi-final at Wembley coming up a few days later, I wouldn't be trying a leg either. United rode the luck at the weekend. But they've got the manager there full-time now, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, whose biggest achievement in my eyes since he took over seems to appear to be burying Alexis Sanchez under the patio. I mean, what happened to him? I know he's injured at the moment, but I mean, he was fit for a long time under Solskjaer and didn't seem to play. And this is a guy who's, you know, probably the best footballer Chile have ever produced, which is not saying much. And he's not in the looking. I think United have thought of retiring the number 7 shirt with him still in it, because that's how bad he's been. But, you know, Solskjaer's done not very little wrong. The acid test now is that he's got the job full time. All this guessing game is over. How will he do? I think he'll do all right. And 21-20 for me, it comes under the heading, yes, I'll have some of that. In fact, no, it doesn't, Sam. It comes under the heading, yes, I'll have all of that.
Okay.
Because I think it's nailed on.
Okay. Strong selection then for Manchester United at 21-10. You're absolutely bang on about Alexis Sanchez. Remember the game against Liverpool where Manchester United had all those injuries in the first half, and he was looking right the way down the bench all the way to the kit men before he wanted to bring on Alexis Sanchez. There were two players that came off for Manchester United, both of whom could have been replaced by Sanchez and weren't.
Exactly. Well, you know, we all thought it was, Sanchez and Marino, Jose Marino, that was the problem. They didn't get on and Marino didn't fancy him. He didn't do the defensive work and all so on. And then we thought, well, as soon as Solskjaer comes in, you know, he's going to get the best of Sanchez, but he hasn't. He's got the worst out of him. So, you know, what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that it's Sanchez is the problem to me. Maybe he's got this fat contract and he's just not interested anymore, which, if that is the case, what a shame on him.
Yes, absolutely. On to Wednesday's matches we go now. We start with Chelsea versus Brighton. It's 1-4 for Chelsea here, 5-1 about the draw. Brighton are 11-1. We said right at the top of the podcast that both of these teams will have breathed a huge sigh of relief at the final whistle in Cardiff on Sunday, where a pretty unimpressive Chelsea side squeezed past Cardiff thanks to that offside goal which kick-started Chelsea's late comeback in the game. That win obviously helped Chelsea hang around in the conversation for the top four, but also gave Brighton a little bit of breathing space down the bottom. Maurizio Sarri started without N'Golo Kante or Eden Hazard at the weekend, although Hazard did come on for the final half an hour. Given how much they struggled for large parts of the game against Cardiff, you have to imagine that those two will be reintroduced to the starting lineup, and that would make Chelsea a bit of a different proposition. That being said, I'm struggling to be confident backing them here at 1-4. The Chelsea fans were also pretty vocal in their displeasure that Callum Hudson-Odoi didn't get on the field on Sunday after his impressive England debut. Things have gone very sour very quickly for Sarri. That Hudson-Odoi issue is not helping. And
no.
As I say, 1-4 here for Chelsea kind of make your eyes water a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It's 1-4, basically. If you back a 1-4 poke, you want its nose on the line, don't you?
The
other ones that are a fair long behind, and Chelsea certainly aren't about that. I think they're so sure because Brighton, of course, though they should need to be battling for the points, they've got an FA Cup semi-final themselves at the weekend, albeit against Manchester City. So, you know, this will be their only case of Wembley, I think. I had a lot of sympathy early on in the season when he all that business, not early on, a few weeks ago when he had that business with the goalie,
yes.
Adesa Balaga. But sympathy seems to be vanishing. He looks like the guy in the betting shop lurking at your shoulder while you're trying to pinch the racing post. You know, the kind of guy who had 67 selections on one betting slip when he's got the only betting shop pen and you're waiting for it. I don't know. He doesn't seem a guy who courts popularity. And his treatment of Callum Hudson-Odoi, you know, not so much leaving him out the first year, that's his prerogative, he's the manager, but the things he said after his England, you know, heroics, it does make you think, what is going on there? Poor Hudson-Odoi, well, on the weekend, he wore the look of someone who was just being booted out of a boy band. He didn't look very happy at all. The only teams Brighton have beaten away from home in the league this season are Newcastle, Huddersfield and Palace. No matter how badly Chelsea are playing, they're not that bad. So I've got to go for Chelsea, but I can't back them at 1-4. It's hard to back either team with any confidence, but the alternative is a lot worse watching this match without a bet on it. I'm going to have to go for Chelsea to win 2-0, which again is, you know, it's not exactly approaching Wake and Man territory, but it's not as bad as backing them at 1-4.
Okay, Chelsea to win the game then 2-0 is the selection in that Chelsea-Brighton game. We'll move on to the action now involving Manchester City versus Cardiff. Manchester City are 1-16 to see off Cardiff. The draw is 11-1 and Cardiff are 4-0, 40-1 to record victory against Manchester City. A absolutely huge price for a Premier League team, of course. We all know the reasons why. Neil Warnock joked at the weekend that he would play the under-23s in this one and try and restrict Manchester City to 10 or 11 goals. Whilst that comment was obviously tongue-in-cheek, you do detect a slight bit of seriousness in his comments, with next week's six-pointer against Burnley surely holding much more importance in Neil Warnock's mind than this game. Cardiff did play well against Chelsea, as we've mentioned at the weekend, whilst City were professional in dispatching Fulham, declared at 2, which was very nice of them. Even though City have got the FA Cup semi-final at the weekend, Liverpool's win over Spurs means that they're unlikely to go for too much of a weakened team in this one. They hammered Cardiff 5-0 in the reverse fixture. That could well happen again. We know how capable City are. The thing for me, Derek, is that could happen, but also a similar situation to what we saw at the weekend could happen, where City get the lead early on and just decide to control the game after that rather than going for the jugular. So for all that Manchester City could absolutely batter Cardiff here, I'd kind of want to tread carefully if I was piling into a lengthy handicap here.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, initially when I looked at it and I understood why the referee had requested an abacus for this match. But yeah, your reservations are right. I mean, you mentioned at the top there about Warnock and a comment that he was playing the under-23s. Well, I didn't think it was tongue-in-cheek. Maybe you saw a later interview than me, but when he said it, when I was watching him on TV, and it got lost underneath the tirade that the officials.
Yeah.
But he did seem to, you know, it was like, I'm going to play the under-23s, we'll get ready instead for the game against Burnley.
Okay.
And I think he will do. I think he'll play a severely weakened team and concentrate, because he's not going to get anything against Manchester City, no matter who he plays. He could play 23 under-23s and he still wouldn't get anything of them. I think bookies will pay out on City as soon as they see the Cardiff team sheet. And I think first in the queue at the payout desk will be Neil Warnock. But City, you could rely on City when they went 2-0, 3-0 up. They'll go for the jugular and go for more, because they did it in the FA Cup 100 times. They've had 7-0 wins, 8-0 yep. wins, 9-0 wins. But yeah, maybe Guardiola has said to them, listen, we've got a big fixture pile up here. We're in for four trophies. We've got millions of games coming up. Get the 3 points in the bag and take your foot off the gas. And it's worth taking the chance that will happen. And maybe, you know, Cardiff keeping it within bounds, the score. So, yeah, maybe Cardiff. I'm just trying to look through the handicap score now. I'm looking for when a realistic scoreline with Cardiff still odds against on the handicap market. And I'm looking at Cardiff with a 3-goal start, which is 13-10. Now, that seems all right, that to me, you know. Even if he plays under-23s, I suppose if he plays under-23s, you know, they might think, well, we want to show that we're good enough for team. Sometimes it works in the opposite way. They'll give a better performance in the fifth team. But yeah, I think I'll go for that. I'll share your reservations about City here and go Cardiff plus 3 goals at 13-10.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad, that 13-10, Cardiff plus 3. If you want to be more conservative, Cardiff with a 4-goal head start is 8-15. And with a 5-goal head start, that's pretty short, in truth, at 1-5. But I think there'll be one or two that look at Cardiff plus 4 at 8-15 and think that isn't too bad. On to the final Premier League game midweek then. And this is Spurs versus Crystal Palace. Spurs are 47-100 in the 90-minute betting, 17-5 for the draw. And Palace are priced up at 6-1. The curtain finally comes up on Spurs' new stadium after nearly a year of playing their home games at Wembley. I think it'll be more of a relief than anything for Pochettino and the players to get playing here after a number of setbacks throughout the course of the season. Spurs are in a little bit of a sticky situation at the moment. They looked clear third best in the Premier League for most of the way, but now all of a sudden their top four spot is in serious jeopardy. The likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United all hunting them down. Both Arsenal and Manchester United could have gone ahead of Spurs by the time this game kicks off, which would leave them in fifth. They're now winless in 5 games, having looked an absolute lock for the Champions League at one point. It wasn't too long ago we were talking of them as potential title candidates. Now they could finish in the Europa League spots. So it is slightly worrying times for Spurs. Obviously, the crushing defeat late in the game on the weekend via that Alderweireld own goal. The only positive, I suppose, is they're playing a Crystal Palace side who seem to have done enough in terms of their Premier League survival for next season, and they could just be about to head into the freewheeling stage of the season. But this is a massive game for Spurs, Derek.
Yeah, it is. And they're being priced up like, you know, the home team, and I suppose they are, but, you know, this is a new stadium for them. It's not like, you know, it's a difficult one here. You know, you had to play in a game at White Hart Lane, therefore they're the home team. But no, I think they're underpriced here. Yeah, they were impressive against Liverpool in the second half at the weekend. So they deserved, you know, probably deserved to win that. But I really can't bring myself to be back in the middle with a 1-2 poke. And what price of penalty? That's the first thing I looked at when I saw this game. It was Dele Alli and Wilfried Zaha, two of the best divers in the game in action. I think tonight's fourth official is a lifeguard, the so accomplished divers. Palace have lost only one of their last five away matches. In fact, they've won three of them. And I did a team that I like to look at away from home. And it, you know, you just look at the league table, they've won a lot more away games than they have at home. And yet the bookies never, ever seem to take that into account. 6-1 in pretty much what is, at the moment, almost neutral territory, isn't it, really? You'd have to say, almost. I'm liking the look of it, you know. You know what I'll do? I'll play a little bit safer and go Palace at 17-10 with a goal start. I think that, you know, the doubts about Tottenham, I think that looks unmissable. In fact, I'll have to stop looking at it and start backing it.
Okay, Palace plus a goal is 17-10, or if you're a little bit more adventurous, as I can tell, you're tempted by the 6-1 as well, Derek. For
I am.
Palace,
it's just, I mean, Tottenham. I think the bookies are looking at this and thinking, right, it's going to be a party atmosphere there, you know, new stadium, fans are going to be right behind them. Great performance in the second half against Liverpool, but they haven't picked up many points recently, Tottenham, and you know, there's one good half entitled them to be 1-2 against a team that play their best football away from home. And they've got, you know, okay, they might be lowly in the league, Palace, but they should be an awful lot better. And if they had a half-decent manager, they probably would be. There's a chance here for Palace, definitely.
Okay, that wraps up the five games that we've got coming up in midweek. Some tough games, I think, Derek, in terms of a best bet, though.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? The old best. I'll have to go for Man United, I think 21-20. I didn't expect them to be this price. I know that Wolves have got this great record against top six sides, but not when they've got an FA Cup semi-final on the horizon. I think United are too big.
Manchester United then at 21-20. I quite like the look of Watford to win to nil this week. That's 2-1, which I think is a big price. I share your reservation that Watford are pretty short in the 90 minutes betting, seeing as the FA Cup semi-final has to be priority number one. But I think Fulham have looked lifeless for a little while now. They can't keep the ball out of the net, so I have no worries about Watford scoring. It's just a case of whether Watford keep a clean sheet, and at 2-1 I'm happy to take the chance that they do. So I'll go for Watford win to nil at 2-1 this week. That double pace 5-1, incidentally, Manchester United in the 90 minute betting, and Watford to win without scoring is 2-1. The punt will return, of course, ahead of the weekend's action. Derek, thank you very much for that. Pleasure as ever.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.